Hey, Not Crazy fans, this is Gabe Howard, and we are moving on up. You are currently in the archive section, and your subscription links will be closing out in the next couple of weeks. Trust me, you do not want to miss a thing, so please resubscribe on your favorite podcast player. You can head over to psychcentral.com/notcrazy for the current links, updates, and all the new episodes. Or just search for Not Crazy. It's the one that doesn't have archive in parentheses. Don't worry, we have you covered for now. You're listening to episode 1 of the brand new Not Crazy with my ex-wife and current producer, Lisa. Starting now.
You're listening to Not Crazy, a Psych Central podcast, hosted by my ex-husband, who has bipolar disorder. Together, we created the mental health podcast for people who hate mental health podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Not Crazy podcast. My name is Gabe Howard, and I live with bipolar disorder, and I am really excited to be here with my producer and co-host and ex-wife, Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
Wow.
You didn't plan. You were supposed to tell me what to say, and I don't know what to say.
It's not a scripted show. I'm not supposed to tell you what to say. You're supposed to say whatever you want. I'm not the boss of you.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
All right. That's a very fair point. We've been doing this work for a decade, not the podcast. We've just been doing mental health advocacy for a decade, but yet all the trophies have my name on it. But I always thank you from the podium.
Yes, you do. You're very good at that.
Very good at that.
You do a good job with that.
Why do you always want to be behind the scenes? What about the spotlight bugs you?
It's not so much that the spotlight bugs me. It's just, what's wrong with behind the scenes? Why does everybody act like the only people who count are the people in the front? You know how they have those things at the end of movies where this supported 15,000 jobs, right? Yeah, like 5 of them were the actors. Why does everyone always act like they're the most important part? They're not the most important part. The person in the spotlight isn't necessarily the most important part.
I get what you're saying, but visual representation is important. Like, for example, I know that I could not have gotten as far as I've gotten without you. For one thing, you have produced, edited the podcast. I mean, you find guests for the Psych Central podcast. You are production, engineering, audio. Obviously, all of those things are just incredibly important. But I think it might be a chicken and the egg thing, right? If there was no Gabe, there could be no Lisa. And I guess arguably if there was no Lisa, there could be no Gabe, but this was my idea. I put my ass on the line. So if the whole thing failed, nobody'd be like, oh, hey, Lisa screwed up. But they would be like, do you see that redheaded idiot?
Okay.
That's it? That's all you got?
I don't know. What do you want me to respond to that?
You hid behind me. That's what I'm saying. You rode my coattails to success.
Or I propped you up.
You lift me up.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
That is.
I can climb the mountains.
It is fair and it is interesting. What made the switch? After all of these years, what made you decide, hey, I want to tell my story. I want people to know more of my opinions. Have I gotten it wrong the last decade? And you're just like, man, I got to correct him.
You know, good question, Gabe. It actually annoyed me the last time we talked about this. That's not what happened. You know that's not what happened. You were desperate for someone to fill this role, and I was the only one who would do it, and so here I am. You act like, oh, gee, after all this time, your confidence has finally increased. You're blooming. You're a flower in the sun. I've finally brought you out of your shell. No, that's not what happened. I was perfectly happy with where I was. And then you're like, hey, I'm desperate. Will you do this with me, please?
That's what happened. That is partially what happened.
That's 100% what happened.
Yes. It's really, really hard to do a podcast. People think
Which is why I'm so excited to get to join in. Great. This is just great. Because I would like to point out that all the other things I do for the podcast, still there. Didn't hire anyone new for that. Just mentioning.
I like you less.
Don't look at me.
I didn't like you a lot before this started, but I like you less now. But it is true. People don't realize just how much time, energy, and effort goes into the podcast. And I don't mean the production side of it. I mean, you know how many hours go into when the recording is over, but how many hours go into getting to the point that you can record?
Yeah.
I'm not talking sound checks and audio checks. I mean,
that took a really long time.
That does take a long time. I'm also talking about, you know, getting the topics down and getting everything down. And especially since we're talking about mental health. And one of the things that I'm so excited about having you on the show is a lot of people don't realize that Lisa was also our lead researcher. Mm-hmm. So previously, typically, Lisa would do all of the research and hand it over to Gabe and company. And now Lisa does all the research and you're just going to mention it on the show.
I know. Exciting, right? This way you won't mess it up.
This way I won't mess it up.
You do. You always mess it up.
I do. I tend to work more on feelings, whereas you tend to work more on facts. I think this is why our marriage didn't work out, because I felt that you were an idiot and you knew that I was.
Yes. Yes.
So there we are. Let's talk about that for a moment. What makes you want to work with your ex-husband? I'm sincere.
I don't know.
It's fascinating to me.
It is a mystery wrapped in enigma.
It is. Okay, stop it. Nobody wants to listen to a podcast with all this garbage.
How do you know?
I don't.
You don't know.
It's a first episode.
Maybe this is going to be the most successful. Maybe it's the secret sauce. This is going to be the most successful episode you've ever had. You don't know. It could be.
Lisa, you live with depression.
Yes.
You live with depression.
You're changing the subject.
You were suicidal for much of your life. You've had massive emotional and mental issues. And I can't help but notice that the way that you handled that was to marry somebody who was way sicker. So that standing next to me, you looked sane.
That was not the original goal, but that is what happened. And it actually wasn't until we were preparing to start doing this show, because I kept thinking, well, but this is Gabe's thing. This is Gabe's thing. This is Gabe's thing. And then I started really thinking about it. I thought, this is my thing. I am actually really qualified for this. Wow. Like, I totally didn't realize, because I've just been comparing myself to you this whole time, but just on my own merits,
I hate that you think that you got here because I was desperate. There was an opening for a co-host, but there's a lot of people that want to co-host a show like this. It's an extraordinarily popular show. It's on the Psych Central
network. Psych Central does a lot.
It's big. This is what I do for a living. I make a full-time living as a podcaster and a public speaker. I think that sometimes people hear you and they're like, well, Gabe was desperate. He couldn't find anybody. And I'm afraid that I'm going to get 1,000 letters saying, hey, if you want to ditch your ex-wife, which is reasonable, then, you know, hey, why don't you bring me in here? You are qualified to do this work. And one of the things that I'm most excited about is during every show, Lisa factors in heavily, as are many other people at psychcentral.com who, like you said, it's 15,000 jobs. Yay!
No, there's a lot of people involved, which is one of the reasons I think people don't understand how much work it is, because it's so much passing back and forth, and you do your part, and then the next person does their part, and it just leaves a lot of room for error, frankly.
Well, it does leave a lot of room for error, and I'm impressed and surprised at how little error we have.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
And that pretty much describes how the Psych Central podcast works. The biggest, best, and longest running podcast on psychcentral.com. It's a great show. It's very educational, and I highly recommend it.
At psychcentral.com/show.
But this is why we wanted to do Not Crazy. We wanted a lived experience show. Mm-hmm. And I want people to know that you have lived experience. You have your own lived experience, and you have the lived experience of helping me.
Yeah.
You were my peer supporter back before it was called peer support, all the way back in 2003 when I was diagnosed. If it wasn't for you answering my questions and telling me what was reasonable and what was not reasonable, helping me navigate a horrific mental health system, and I had insurance, I had money, I had resources, I don't think that I would have gotten to this point. I don't want people to think that you're just in front of the microphone because you have nothing to share and Gabe needed a woman's voice. And
no, like I said, until we started doing this and I had to write my bio and stuff, and I was just like, whoa, I'm way more qualified than I thought. Hey, the other thing that was kind of annoying is when you said, hey, Lisa's going to be my co-host, and people said, but she doesn't have mental illness. And I thought, screw all of you people. One, wow, you people don't pay attention or listen to me at all, or you would know that I do in fact have mental illness. But then the second part was, really? Is that how I'm perceived? Is it just because I'm standing next to you, or am I passing that well?
And
I mean, what's happening?
That's an interesting thing that you brought up. You're upset that people don't realize that you're mentally ill. Well, and the whole rest of society is upset when people perceive them as mentally ill. So it's a little bit bizarre, right? Like,
well, it's
do you really want people to think that you're a mentally ill person? Because I'm positive that would offend you.
Well, it's both. Because on the one hand, I thought, how do you not know about my own history of mental illness? Who do you think you are to tell me that I'm not mentally ill? I have the street cred on this, people. But then When other people look at me, they don't see someone with mental illness, but I see it in myself. So that's kind of interesting. And that, I guess, feels good. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I go both ways.
Let's switch gears and talk about why we're still friends.
Okay.
People are fascinated by this. And I want to point out that we did not have like a Britney Spears marriage. When I say we're exes, I don't mean we got married in Vegas for the weekend. We were married for 5 years. We were together a couple of years before that. This is a 7-8 year romantic relationship. We were in love. We bought a house. We talked about having children. This was a real relationship. And I don't know why I feel the need to state that, but I think when people see that we're friends and they find out that we're exes, they think, well, the marriage must have dissolved quickly. Yeah. And that's not the case. Why? Why are we here? We don't have children. There's nothing to tie us together. We don't own a business together. Why are you here?
You know, I don't know. And I've been thinking about that a lot over the last couple of weeks. I don't know. Why is that? Why did that happen?
I have many, many theories.
Okay.
But one of the things that I think about is why? Why do we need a theory? Like, isn't this a plus? Like, if I was driving my car and my car ran off a cliff and I walked away without a scratch. Now, that is unusual, right?
Right.
But I would just be happy.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, I lived. And I would just be pleased that it happened. But it's weird because people aren't pleased that this happened. They don't think, oh my God, that's fantastic. Wow. They're like, why? Well, you can correct it now. You don't have to talk to her. We have family members that still to this day, 10 years later, they're like, well, you don't have to be friends.
Right.
And they're actively discouraging it. Again, go back to the car flew off the cliff analogy. People aren't like, you know, you could go back to that cliff and try again. you could jump off the cliff and I bet the second time would kill you because rightfully you should have died. So you really need to, why isn't it just a good thing? Why isn't it a good thing that two people corrected their relationship and don't hate each other? Because we have many things to hate each other for. We did not have
a good marriage.
Right. No. And as evidenced by the fact that
we are now divorced.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
It actually makes me sad to say that we didn't have a good marriage.
Why?
I don't know.
It ended in a divorce.
I know. It always makes me sad when you say that.
Well, I mean, admitting failure is hard, but to stay on track,
okay.
Just to stay on the topic. Obviously, this worked out okay. We're both remarried, the love of our lives. Your husband, Marode, is awesome. My wife, Kendall, equally awesome. Everything is fine. We don't need it. But why are people so focused on the fact that we are exes? And why do they think it's weird? And what does that say about a greater society that if a romantic relationship or a marriage doesn't work out, you're supposed to be enemies?
Well, you're not just supposed to be enemies. You're supposed to be arch enemies. It's your deepest hate.
I'm surprised when I'm up on stage and I tell the story of me being suicidal, of going to the emergency room, and people find out that you are my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. And that's all they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've achieved, everything that I've done, and what they want to know is why. Why are you friends with your ex-wife? And they say, well, you have kids. Like, okay, yeah. you're modeling the way
that's
for the children.
That's always the thing.
Yeah, no.
100% of the time people go, oh, children.
No kids. Like, well, you had pets together. We did, but we hated each other's pets. I brought in a cat that Lisa hated, and Lisa brought in a cat that I hated.
Yeah, you did hate him. I didn't hate him. He just wasn't my favorite.
When we got divorced, you got rid of him.
No, I did. Take that back. That is not true.
Did he live with you after we got divorced?
At first. My husband, Warode, is deathly allergic to cats. I didn't believe him and made him go get an allergy test. And yeah, there was just no way. Once we moved in together, that was just not feasible for me to keep the cats. But it's not like I got rid of just him and kept the other cats.
You know your favorite cat? Let's say that Warode was allergic to
that
cat.
See, that would have been a problem. That cat had passed away by the time Warode and I were together. I actually did think about that would have been a problem. I don't know that I would have been willing to give up that cat for a relationship. And people said that to me. I got a lot of flack on that, actually. People were like, oh my God, you're getting rid of your cats? It's horrible. One, I found them a very good home with my best friend, so I knew I could see them whenever I wanted, and they were perfectly well taken care of.
I thought I was your best friend.
Well, you know what I mean. I found them a very good home where they were very happy, and they lived in little kitty paradises.
I'm really surprised that you did not go with you didn't take him either, Gabe, and you just said he was your favorite cat.
I don't know why this matters, because the cat has died long since, but—
Through no fault of our own. The cat lived another 8 years. We visited the cat all the time. We loved the cat. Cat was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, Lisa didn't love the cat. I love the cat.
I don't know why this is bothering me, that it's bothering me as if the dead cat is going to be listening to this and will be offended because mommy didn't love him. So I don't know why this is bothering me, but don't say that. Don't say that. I did not get rid of the cat. That is a terrible thing. Don't say that.
Daddy Gabe had to move into a very small apartment, which is all he could afford because I had just reached recovery with bipolar disorder. And then my, you know, ex-wife got rid of my cat. That's how I tell the story.
Okay. No, the cats continued to be with me for the next 2 years. And then we found them a kitty paradise house.
Kitty paradise house. And people are surprised to hear that I lived with three cats for our marriage. I think that's what did us in. And
it's always the children's fault.
It's always the children. No, it's never the children.
That's why it's funny.
You've got that backwards. You were a great cat mom. And obviously, we're really, really glad that our friend could take in the cat. And it worked out at a great time for her, too. And obviously, the cats loved her. She was their aunt their entire life. And it made sense for all of us where we were going because...
Everyone was pleased.
Yeah, I mean, life changed a lot. But it is interesting, our different perspectives on it.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Interested in learning about psychology and mental health from experts in the field? Give a listen to the Psych Central podcast, hosted by Gabe Howard. Visit psychcentral.com/show or subscribe to the Psych Central podcast on your favorite podcast player.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. Secure, convenient, and affordable online counseling. All counselors are licensed, accredited professionals. Anything you share is confidential. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist whenever you feel it's needed. A month of online therapy often costs less than a single traditional face-to-face session. Go to BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral and experience 7 days of free therapy to see if online counseling is right for you. BetterHelp.com/PsychCentral.
Hey, Not Crazy fans, this is Gabe Howard, and we are moving on up. You are currently in the archives section, and your subscription links will be closing out in the next couple of weeks. Trust me, you do not want to miss a thing, so please resubscribe on your favorite podcast player. You can head over to psychcentral.com/notcrazy for the current links, updates, and all the new episodes. Or just search for Not Crazy. It's the one that doesn't have archive in parentheses. You've been listening to episode 1 of the brand new Not Crazy with my ex-wife and current producer, Lisa. Continuing now.
I was worried about what we were going to talk about at first, but now, over the last few days, I've been thinking about all the things that I have to say. And you've all been listening to Gabe for years, and so you've all heard his version of various things that have happened, but now you can hear the real one, which is also known as my version.
I love how you are trying to insinuate that I am a liar to our audience.
No, you just frame things incorrectly. I can tell the story better.
You know, that's very interesting, though, that you bring that up, but because it's going to be true. Two people standing watching the exact same thing, having the exact same experience, experienced it differently. And that's one of the things that I think that maybe the medical establishment, you know, psychiatry, scientists, et cetera, that they leave out. You know, they talk about, like, here are the symptoms of bipolar disorder, or anxiety, or schizophrenia, or psychosis. And you get this idea in your head that everybody experiences them the same way. You are right, Lisa. The way that we experience our marriage, our breakup, even different arguments that we had along the way, even different successes. You know, your favorite vacation is not my favorite vacation. And people understand that husbands and wives do not experience their relationship in the same way. Yet we live in a world where people believe that everybody with bipolar disorder experiences it the same way, or everybody with major depression experiences it the same way. We're all exactly the same. And I hope, if nothing else, that this show just obliterates that idea and gives people the power to stand up and say, you know, I'm not like every single person that you read about on the internet, but we do have things in common, just like married people have things in common. We don't disagree on everything.
That is a very interesting point. I had actually never considered that.
I know, I'm wise.
Everyone always does make it out like your mental illness experience should be exactly in a certain way. It should follow this step, then this step, then this step. And the thing where it really gets you is when they feel like, hey, you tried the medication and it didn't work. Or you were diagnosed X number of months ago and
you should be better now.
Yeah.
Well, why should I be better? Well, I read on the internet that you can be better in 4 months. Well, there was this one guy on the internet that he did yoga and he's better. Well, there's this one woman on the internet, she started eating watermelon, but she chewed up the seeds, but she chewed the seeds on her back teeth, not her front teeth. And then she did yoga and then she walked a mile a day and then she got a dog and that cured psychosis and she no longer has zits on her butt. It's like that and it's everywhere. And our stories are valuable and they're valuable because they're different. That's why a show like this needs to exist. And that's why we started it.
That was very profound, actually. Nice. Good job.
I know, it's almost like I do this for a living. Lisa, welcome to the show, and welcome to your first day as a professional podcaster.
Aw, thank you, Gabe. And that's true. I'm a professional podcaster now. I can tell people that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Maybe. Now, for the rest of your life, when you tell people that, they will assume that you live in your parents' basements.
But that's because those people didn't have podcasts as good as our podcast.
Which is actually the
best of the podcast.
We have the best of the podcast. Exactly. Like Mark Maron is just gone. That UFC guy. I mean, just, yeah.
Anita Sarkeesian.
NPR.
Well, NPR. We're better than
all of those podcasts.
NPR.
Yeah.
Better than most podcasts. All the podcasts.
I like to tell people that when it comes to personal journals, mental health, education, extra, we're in the top 10.
You know, that's a good point. I do that all the time when I'm trying to get people on the Psych Central show. And I'll say, you know, the Psych Central podcast is in the iTunes top 10. And people will be like, oh my God, really? You're an iTunes top 10 podcast? Yes. In the health and wellness category.
One of the interesting things I think about being friends with your ex, you know me in a very intimate way, but you're gone.
Right.
Now, people say that we bicker like brother and sister and we're like, oh, we're exes. And they're like, I saw that. I'm like, no, you didn't. You thought we were brother and sister. Do you think that it's good? Is this a mentally healthy decision for us? Like, should you just be the crazy woman I divorced 15 years ago? Or like, is it good that you're still coming over to my house and hanging out with my wife?
You know, I don't know. And people ask me about this all the time. We have actually, when we're out in public or when we're doing professional meetings, et cetera, we have actually stopped telling people about this aspect of our relationship because it immediately becomes the only thing anyone can focus on.
This is going to help. I think having a podcast where we do nothing but talk about mental illness, mental health, and debate things, and of course tell people at the top of every show that you're my ex-wife and that I'm your ex-husband, that will definitely make people ask less questions. Definitely. You know how popular things on television nobody talks about? Like, we won't get emails, we won't get social media posts. No, this will take care of the whole problem.
It's annoying. It's as if it's the most important aspect of our lives that we used to be married and we're now divorced and it's not. And going back, when you said the whole thing about, do you think this is a good thing? I realize that this sounds stupid, but it never occurred to me that we would lose contact. You've written several blog posts. You've spoken before about how you just always assumed eventually we would drift apart. You know, once we sold the house, the divorce was finalized. You know, at a certain point, you'd just be like, oh, hey, I haven't talked to her in forever. Okay.
Right.
I never thought that. And I don't know if that's just because I was really unrealistic, but I honestly never did. It never occurred to me that that would happen. It never occurred to me that you wouldn't always be there. I don't know. Maybe that's mental illness. I don't know.
Then why'd you divorce me? If you wanted me around.
See, exactly, right?
You discarded me.
That's, oh, come on. Don't do
like
that either.
Garbage.
Oh, stop it. I understand that these two things don't go together. Because, hey, if you wanted to make sure he was around all the time, you should have stayed married. But
yeah, that's definitely a symptom of something.
Well, probably.
I don't know what it is, but I guarantee it's hard to pronounce.
I don't know. I feel like it's hard to say because, of course, it's hard for me to remember how I felt then because I can only relate it to how I feel now. But it never occurred to me that we would lose contact. I don't know that it occurred to me that we would be this close. We'd still be talking daily, et cetera. But it's never seemed odd to me. It's never seemed like a weird thing that I need to explain to other people. But apparently everybody else thinks it is because I need to explain it and justify it constantly. But it never seemed to me like something I should have to explain or justify.
It's interesting that a couple of mentally ill people who have really just been through the ringer when it comes to our mental health have figured out how to have, we're going to go with a marginally healthy relationship, whereas all these well people, and I'm making air quotes, all these healthy and well-adjusted people literally just sit around screaming about their exes. They're so angry at them. And I've been in these parties before where one person just spends the entire time talking about their ex, whom they hate. And I'm like, there's clearly something there. You have spent 4 hours talking about this person. It's all negative, but nobody can get you off of that subject. That person is controlling your life in a very negative way. And hey.
It's often amazed me that if you, like you said, went on and on and on and were completely focused on this intense hatred you feel for this person that you haven't seen in months or years, and for some reason, that's a better choice. That indicates that you have a better emotional well-being when you just go nuts and hate this person forever.
I like that we can keep our intense hatred and our friendship like co-occurring. That's
definitely the healthiest way to do things.
That's really good. Lisa, I am excited for this podcast. I am excited for all the things that we're going to discuss. I'm excited to explore mental illness and pop culture. I'm excited to explore. I'm just excited to explore because there's so much to talk about. And we're excited for the guests that we're going to have on the show. We're excited for the topics. And we're just excited for the questions that we're going to answer. And if you have suggestions, topics, questions, hit us up at show@psychcentral.com and tell us about them. Lisa, do you have any parting words before we head on out?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I just thought there'd be more discussion. Should we talk about more stuff?
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
So you think I'm doing it wrong, but you don't have a solution.
Well, I don't know. Should we talk more about how our relationship ended or like how we got together or something like that?
She gave me a fake name. We should have known it was doomed. when the day that we met, you told me your name was something different than Lisa. Like that was
to give you my real name.
If we were
going to talk again,
that would be foreshadowing. And yet truth is absolutely stranger than fiction. We can't give it all away on the first show. People have to have a reason to tune in next week. We also need to let people know this is not all we're going to talk about. Obviously, it's going to permeate everything because, well, we can't choose where to go to eat without getting in a fight about something that happened in, 2005.
Well, you were wrong.
I was not.
Oh, you so were.
I don't even know what it was, but I was not.
It doesn't matter. You were wrong.
Lisa, I'm excited to work with you. I'm very glad you're here.
Aw.
All right, everybody, here's what we need you to do. If you love the show, please subscribe. Please rate, rank, and review. That is very important for new podcasts. Use your words. Give us as many stars as possible. Share us on social media. Email all of your friends and email show@psychcentral.com and tell us what you want to hear more about. We will see everybody next Tuesday.
See you then. You've been listening to the Not Crazy Podcast from Psych Central. For free mental health resources and online support groups, visit psychcentral.com. Not Crazy's official website is psychcentral.com/notcrazy. To work with Gabe, go to gabehoward.com. Want to see Gabe and me in person? Not Crazy travels well. Have us record an episode live at your next event. Email show@psychcentral.com for details.
Ready? Mm-hmm. Let's switch gears to a moment.
When you do this, what are you doing?
Doing what?
You do this where you stop and you can tell that you're doing something like with your face.
I'm thinking.
Well, but like
you just interrupted my thought.
I feel like you're getting yourself it or something.
I am. I'm running what I want to say through my mind and making sure it sounds okay before I say it.
I do not do that.
I know. You do not.